We kick off hour number three of the program. This segment brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. They're celebrating 85 years this year in 2019, and they're trying to teach the next generation how important it is to save and be financially responsible. And right now, you can get your child signed up with a new savings account at the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. There's a higher dividend rate for the first $500. It's for anyone age 17 and under. It's the Jump Start Savings Account at 3%. For all the details, check out tvacreditunion.com or walk into one of over 20 branches right here in East Tennessee. It's the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union, helping their members grow financially, moving upward and forward. The Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Do you see there's more beef between the Texans and the Patriots?
More? Was there original beef? What was the original beef?
Well, this happens. I'm interested to see if this happens between the Lions and the Patriots down the road. Because the Patriots are so successful, people go off and end up in, you know, other organizations. So there's Texas in the Texans organizations, there's Patriots people, and then of course Matt Patricia is now with the Lions, and there's Patriots people there. But there was tampering charges filed by the Patriots as the Texans are trying to steal their people.
Okay.
They tried to hire Nick Caserio, their general manager. So now the NFL will have to, you know, do a whole nother investigation.
How is that tampering? Trying to hire someone away is tampering?
I guess it's the way you do it.
So you have
to, like, let them know, I guess, and ask for permission to
talk.
Well,
yeah, I mean, I remember, was it wasn't Kingsbury with Helton, was it? Yeah, it was Lynn Swan, and he told mm-hmm. Cliff Kingsbury, no, you're not allowed to interview with anybody, you're ROC. And he's like, the Arizona Cardinals are calling me, I'm going to go interview. And then he just leaves USC. Is it that set up in the NFL, like you have to ask permission? That's so strange to me. Like, if I have to ask Bill Belichick's permission to talk to one of his guys to potentially hire him away, and he just says no, that seems like a weird block on somebody in your organization that might have a chance to move up in the world. Why would you allow that to take place? How is that even legal if you're the NFL?
The term tampering is used within the National Football League, refers to any interference by a member club with the employer-employee relationship of another club, or any attempt by a club to impermissibly induce a person to seek employment with that club or with the NFL. Houston fired their general manager, Brian Gain, on June 7th, one day after New England's Super Bowl ring ceremony. That's, quote, set off some alarm bells at Patriots Place, Ian Rappaport reported.
So we don't know what it was, just that it's tampering. Okay. Good detailed story here. Also, it's ironic that the Patriots would accuse anybody of cheating.
That's the funniest part to me.
I mean, that's ridiculous. But, I mean,
the focus of the tampering charges might be Jack Easterby, a former Patriots development director who was hired this offseason as Texas executive vice president of team development. Easterby was in attendance at New England's ring ceremony on Thursday night, one day before Gaines' ouster. So they basically said that this guy was a former Patriots guy, went to the ring ceremony of the Patriots, and got in the ear of the general manager and said, hey, you know, I'm with the Texans now. They really want
Like, how
you.
Is this wrong? Like, what is tampering about that? Hey, I'm in a position now where I can hire you. Do you want to talk about maybe having a different job that makes you more money? And that can be deemed tampering. They filed a complaint. It hasn't been officially, like, levied, though, right? They're not. The NFL has not said, yes, this is tampering, and you're busted.
Asked Tuesday whether Easterby made any contact with Caserio before Gain was fired, Texans coach Bill O'Brien said, quote, I would say that the answer to that is no.
It's a very weird way to say no.
Relative to contact about anything having to do with the Houston Texans, no. So what they're saying is that they got in the ear of this guy before they fired that guy, made sure he would accept the job, then they fired their guy, which is, you
I feel
know.
Like this happens everywhere all the time.
But the
how is this illegal?
Well, the NFL, because they're all the same league, I think have this agreement that you'll kind of play
go
in good
through
faith.
It the right way.
Yeah, it's not like other businesses and industry who well, are okay, competitors so, don't have these.
But
set
that's
rules.
The thing. It'd be one thing if that's all you had to do was say, "Hey, we want to talk to this guy," and that was all there was to it. But they have to give you permission. That's the part I don't understand. It's like,
yeah, I don't know. Do they have to give permission, or do you just have to give them a heads up? Like, is
I don't know.
Not tampering.
That's what
no
I'm asking.
Because
if you don't need permission, then why would you do it in secret at all to risk a tampering charge?
That's a good point.
I don't understand the rules here, and frankly, that article doesn't really explain much other than they talk maybe, and then a guy got fired. But they didn't hire him away because the complaint got issued beforehand.
The most recent example of this kind of NFL tampering also involved the Patriots. New York Jets owner Woody Johnson was charged with tampering by New England and subsequently fined $100,000 in April 2015 after he made comments in December 2014 that he would, quote, love to have Darrell back, referring to Darrell Revis, who
now,
at
players,
the time was
I understand.
Playing with New England on a one-year contract.
Players, I understand, because players who are entering into free agency are looking for a trade. That's a little different when you're saying, yeah, buddy, we love it's like who was it the other week that got in trouble for saying Kawhi Leonard is the closest thing we have to Michael Jordan? And they're like, that
Doc Rivers.
Yeah. It's like that's kind of tampering because you're essentially saying to the world, we would love to have Kawhi Leonard. We would make him very happy here. I think he's the best player in the world.
Well,
Kawhi, please be interested in us.
Well, the weirdest part about the NFL is that they view coaches especially, but even GMs and stuff
well, that's,
like they do players.
Okay,
well,
that's the weird part to me. Then.
Like they've said that one of the solutions might be Houston could just send the Patriots a draft pick for the general manager. I mean, you know, there was that famous Gruden trade where draft picks exchange.
Yeah,
you know, they trade coaches.
They trade coaches and then draft picks. Okay.
So I don't – it's definitely odd.
It just seems like a very odd rule and just situation in general. Hey, we really like – this guy that works for those people, can we talk to him? No. Rules are rules. But we can pay him more money and he'd be happier here. No. Sorry. Patriots are really good and they want to keep him. Because obviously you're only going to talk to somebody who you think's good, right? You're not going to go try to rob down. So this is kind of keeping good teams good. Is that what the league wants? In a way? I don't know. This just seems odd to me.
Did you see that Todd McShay was offered a job in the Jets front office and then he turned it down? I thought that was a joke originally. Like when I first saw the tweets about it, I thought it was a joke.
Turned it down?
Yeah. It's unclear what position new GM Joe Douglas had in mind for his former college teammate, one of their buddies back in the day.
Oh, okay. Well,
McShay's role has been a bit of a holding pattern to ESPN, but he remains a big part of their college football coverage, opting for the security of Bristol over the insecurity of an Adam Gase-led football team was probably a wise career move.
I don't blame him. Like, everyone kind of freaked out when it was Mayock, but people forget that Mayock was a scout for a long time before he ever went to the NFL Network. So him going to be the GM in Oakland made a lot of sense based on not only the specific avenue of his job at ESPN and NFL Network, but also based on what he did to kind of get those jobs. I mean, he's a football guy. McShay, also a football guy, but it just seems weird because he's more of a strict analyst. But I guess at this point, McShay probably watches as much, if not more, film than a lot of scouts in the NFL to be as knowledgeable as he is on. I mean, when it gets to round seven and he's still, I love this guy's attack. Watch film. You know, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Still, it's a bit odd.
Did you see your home state Tennessee Titans are retiring a couple jerseys?
I did.
Steve McNair.
Eddie George. Only number 9 and 27 retired across the NFL ever. Strange. Do you know that?
What?
There's not another 27 or 9 in NFL history for any program, any franchise that's been retired. Very, very strange.
That is strange.
Two really good choices, though. I mean, McNair needed to be done, and Eddie, it was going to happen. I think retiring them at the exact same time, because this now gives Eddie a chance to speak on behalf of McNair and his family, and I think that's a really, really good move. Good job by the Titans. apparently Marcus Mariota has looked awful in workouts recently.
Oh, goodness.
So you've got that to look forward to.
They did sign A.J. Brown, their second-round pick, a wide receiver.
Who hurt his hamstring on, like, the second snap of his first workout. I think he's back now, so that's good.
Are players getting more hurt now, or do we just have more news blurbs about them?
More news blurbs. I mean, this was a hamstring tweak. If there's no cell phone camera in the hand of a reporter, no one even knows about it.
I have a dynasty fantasy football team, and I swear half my team already is injured. Already. They haven't even started training camp. It's brutal.
Are you talking about my fantasy team guy?
No. I'm talking about all the players in the NFL. Half of them are hurt.
So far today, we've learned about your fantasy team, your bus ride in Jamaica,
yep,
the tennis you played.
Mm-hmm.
In high school. Kind of taking over the show with anecdotes.
It's June 14th, buddy.
I've got a fun game that we could play.
I'm excited about it.
Are you, though?
Yeah. Lay it out there. Tease it. Tease it up.
Well, I felt bad when Rod said, you guys aren't doing a lot to get me excited about Tennessee football. It is 78 days. Like, we should probably be starting to feel it. 78 days to football, that means only 48 days until fall camp, which is when a lot of questions begin to get answered. It's also June 14th, which means 28, 29 days until SEC Media Days, which is really kind of officially the kickoff of football season, in my opinion. So we got a month to start getting excited before other things get us excited, not to mention June. Big month for Tennessee on the recruiting trail. A lot of visitors coming in this weekend and next weekend and the weekend after. I think we need a preemptive get happy headed into the weekend. So I figured we could do a draft of offensive and defensive MVPs. We each get two players. If I pick them, you can't have them. And we see who has the best roster at the end of the year.
So it's a total measurement. It's not just who had the one guy.
We could do...
We want to see... Maybe both?
Yeah, because it's going
to
be... It's
going to
be four players. Yeah, I mean, offensively, it's easy. You know, it's statistics for the most part. But I'm going to say you cannot take the quarterback.
What?
No.
That's my guy. What are you talking about?
I mean...
It's football. You can't take the quarterback?
But how does that work? I mean, because everything he throws goes to someone else also. So who gets the credit? Do we just...
Both.
Okay, that's what you want to do.
Quarterbacks. I mean,
I'm just saying, like, of course he's going to have the most yards and touchdowns of anybody at the end of the year. He's the
most
quarterback.
Valuable player. I think your assertion that stats are how you determine most valuable players a little. I mean, it's part of the equation, but it's not everything.
It's the part of the equation. Like, what do you? Stats don't matter. Like, what,
no, I didn't say they don't matter. I'm just saying, like, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're the most valuable player if you have the best stats.
Because if you lead to the most yards and points on offense,
well, then it would
you're not the most
valuable.
Like, show me a most valuable offensive player who was not putting up points and or
any
yards.
Anytime a receiver or a running back is the most valuable player would be
right.
An
it's because
of
they
that.
Have an outrageous amount of yards and or touchdowns.
Right, but their quarterback's going to have more. Like any receiver, their quarterback's going to have more passing yards than they have receiving yards. That's my whole point.
Well,
here.
I agree with that, but you said stats don't matter.
I didn't say that.
That's Billy.
I said they're not everything.
I know they're not everything, especially when you're breaking this down, but like that's how you grade. That's why I'm saying like you grade quarterbacks against other quarterbacks for the most part. You don't grade a quarterback against his receiver. But if you have Marquez Callaway and I have Juwan Jennings, who had more catches, touchdowns, and yards, that's a pretty thing. It's easy, you know, pretty easy thing to balance out. If I take Ty Chandler.
What if I want to take JT Shrout?
Then I would call you a moron, and I would start celebrating me and Billy in the championship. That's what I would do.
I think you should be able to take the quarterback.
Fine, you can take the quarterback.
All right. Good. It's established then. We'll come back. We'll start. Out our order, making some picks. Next, jeez. Tennessee football. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. Billy's stressing out over here. He is definitely Jordan Spieth-ing this thing. He's thinking about it too much. He's worried about repeating picks. He's like, I'm going to have to write this down. Look at the depth chart. Intern Will's going to keep track of it. It's no problem. I'm definitely going to Dustin Johnson mode here. It's like the just get a feel for it and make a selection and hope for the best. And there's still going to be an argument at the end with who has the best, who the MVP is. Who was the MVP of the defense last year?
Of the defense last year?
Bryce Thompson?
Yeah, probably. Probably Big Bryce.
So somebody could take him to repeat. What about offense?
I mean, people won't like it, but probably was Jared, I guess. Ty Chandler?
Ty Chandler.
Maybe we should look at last year's. I'm just saying, and figure out how we want to rank players
that
coming into.
That would help set a precedent for this year's end of the year selections, right?
I mean, that's the thing. The offense last year was so bad. It's awful. Did anyone deserve an MVP from last year?
Do we decide no one wins that one? We're all losers if they're as bad as they were last year on.
Let's see.
I mean,
outside of Jarrett Garantano, if we're talking yards from scrimmage, yeah, Ty Chandler had 813 with 7 touchdowns. Garantano, 1,912 touchdowns. That's why I wanted to say no quarterbacks, and you guys flipped your minds.
Yeah.
Because
Have the first pick. You have the advantage.
I know, but that's my point. Like, of course, if I take Jared, I'm going to probably be able to say, yeah, he's the MVP unless he gets hurt. But other players at different positions, it makes a little bit more sense. I did get first pick, though, in the random selection. Feel pretty good about that. You saw me just randomly draw the names.
Yeah.
Unlike
Davey Hudson,
it was a fair process.
I trust that
I get first pick, Nate gets second pick, Billy's third, then Billy will double pick, and we will snake back.
I trust that you are honorable in these games of chance that we play here on 3 and out.
Always. And I always somehow win because I'm so honorable. It's karma. It's the universe rewarding me for doing it the right way.
I'm going to start having our interns track how much you win at these. See if it's a statistical anomaly or not.
Did I win? Who won NFL Eliminator last year, officially? Did you and me tie with 3 and Davey won 2? Does that sound right?
Something like that.
I think I won SEC Survivor. I don't know. We all lost, but I think of the losers, I won. Maybe you won. Davey definitely lost. That poor kid.
Yeah, he was brutalized.
It was not good.
So last year
was Garantano your offensive MVP last year?
I guess one way we could do it at the end of this season.
We could do a poll and see what people think.
Yeah, I mean you could go by
position. We could do that at the end of the year
and narrow it down. You could say, okay, it had to be Callaway at receiver, it had to be Chandler at running back, and it had to be Garantano at quarterback.
Right.
And obviously, I don't think you could make a case for any of the tight ends or linemen. Right?
No.
So then,
no linemen.
At least you have it narrowed down to
three.
You at least have it narrowed down to 3, and then
I can't believe you said I don't think we can give it to any of the linemen.
Then you could just put that down on a poll.
The line, Drew Richmond MVP.
Well, Trey Smith 2 years ago might have gotten some love.
He would have gotten some consideration. I agree with you.
So I do think it's possible. I mean, Tennessee's team makeup this year. This might be the 1 year it would be possible for like a left tackle to be your most valuable player. Although it would be hard for him to be so good that he would win it over the quarterback because there has to be some
or
production.
Or a running back who runs behind left tackle all the time and breaks a bunch of...
I mean, I guess if your left tackle is just all world, but the other side of the line struggles, so Garantano still doesn't have a good year, that could be a scenario, but that'd be pretty tough.
Are you ready for my pick?
I am. I just don't know who I'm going to pick, so I'm a little...
With the first pick of the first round of the Tennessee offensive and defensive MVP draft...
Wait, do we want to pick who the MVP of the defense would have been last? Oh, we already said Bryce Thompson. Okay.
Do you listen to the show?
Sometimes. I just wanted to interrupt your announcement. I've succeeded.
Good job.
Move along.
Nailed it. The Houston Cress select... Juwan Jennings, receiver, University of Tennessee, number 15.
Oh, shocker. Half the crowd's cheering. Half the crowd's like booing. What is he thinking?
Nope. Big year on deck for 15. I feel it. I feel it. He was banged up. He was coming back from injury. He was banged up all year. This is the year. This is the one. Garantano's going to get time. There's going to be a lot of guys catching passes. A lot of spreading the ball around. But the consistent, healthy Juwan Jennings will be your offensive MVP. You got that, Will? Will's got it.
Will's
officially off the board. With the second pick of the first round of the 2019 Tennessee Offensive and Defensive MVPs draft, Nate Hodges is on the clock.
That was
a
shocker.
It's a very short clock, so like, let's not sit in silence.
That was a shocker. I wasn't prepared for that. So now I'm faced with I didn't think I would be faced with the question of whether or not.
Basically, if you didn't expect that, then now you have first pick, so you should be ecstatic. But I'm telling you, Juwan Jennings is going to win the damn thing.
I kind of want to go defense, but I feel like that's a really dumb decision because.
You want your defensive first pick. Okay.
No, I was saying I'm thinking about it, but
we're not. It's offense, defense. Everybody's on the table. We're only drafting two people, so it's not like
this isn't gonna
people are listening. We're not doing the whole team or anything, so no panics. Ooh, I just thought of something.
I
just thought of something else.
I'm gonna think outside the box too.
I'm
actually gonna make a counter move to your move with a second pick. In the 2019 fan-run Tennessee MVP offensive-defensive draft, the Nate Hodges select.
You just say your name, the Nate Hodges select.
Marquez Callaway, wide receiver, University of Tennessee.
It's a sneaky pick. It's a I made my pick.
Yes.
And I feel good about it.
Okay.
But I did not calculate special teams. And Callaway is, at least as of now, your punt returner. And I think punt returns will count for said player, but it could be Bryce Thompson. So the defensive MVP pick could be a big deal, especially if Bryce Thompson moves back to punt returner. Things are about to get very interesting.
And I think the final decisions on who wins or loses are slightly – it's like Heisman voting. Like, everyone can have their own criteria. So if you know, if Bryce Thompson has a great year on defense and then houses a couple punts, and especially in huge moments.
Oh.
I mean – you house one to, you know, knock off Missouri at the horn, you know, like, could be a big difference to, you know, finish off 8-4, you know, to make you lead to an 8-4 season.
Billy Wilfer is on the clock.
I'm with Nate. I did not find myself in this position.
You have to take him. He's your boy.
I feel like.
You're going to be a fraud if you don't take
him. I don't want to take him now.
How is Garantano falling down the board this far?
It's an Aaron Rodgers situation.
He's in the green room. This is a tragedy.
That's a lot of pressure.
Jim Chaney's his coach.
You have two selections here.
Big Jim Chaney. Chris Winkie. All those new linemen.
That's what scares me.
This is an easy call.
With the third pick
of the 2019 Tennessee football offensive and defensive MVP fan run draft.
Billy Williford.
The Billy Williford's.
Select. Quarterback. Jared Garantano. Oh,
he's off the board. He's off the board. I can't believe
he. A huge sigh relief from the green room.
I can't believe he fell to three.
Oh, man. His agent's in tears.
We love this guy's heart. We can't believe he fell down this low, but we're happy to have him.
So
said
tough.
Billy Williford in a recent interview.
He's so tough.
All right, Nate.
No, it's not.
My turn again.
Oh, that's right. Billy goes twice. Dang it.
Yeah.
Dang it.
See, this one's
I
tricky.
I snaked too early. I zigged when I should have zagged.
I could technically have the first defensive pick.
You like, could.
Yeah. You could have had it in the last pick, too.
Well, yeah, but. All right. Well, this is. You guys led me into believing that Bryce Thompson is going to be a game changer.
Ah, we let him see our big board.
That's true.
Tragic.
We're like the Cowboys.
In the special teams game. And we already know what he's going to deliver
but
on the
this
defensive
is the, this,
end.
Here's your problem, though. With good corners, you know why they're good? Because no one throws at them.
Mm-hmm.
Hard right. to It'd rack up stats when nobody wants to throw at 20.
That's why I'm going with Alante Taylor.
This is a huge. This is a huge snake. Well, a lot of people, myself included, have wondered if perhaps Bryce Thompson was able to make so many plays last year because Alante Taylor was so good. If you'll remember, even though Bryce got the credit at the end of the year on the Pro Football Focus grade by grade, it was actually Alante Taylor through the majority of the season that was graded higher. However, if you go back and watch the Missouri and Vanderbilt tapes, they picked on six. Bad. So, we'll see.
All right.
It's good. The momentum may have just shifted. Everybody might now say we're not throwing it 20. They're going to throw it. Well, they changed his number. What is he now? Is he one?
Number two.
Number two.
We got one and two at corner?
No.
Sorry. Alante's two.
Two
and 20.
They're number two.
Oh, I see what
you
did
there. Team number
two. I see what you did there.
Big Shy Tuttle guy over there.
Pretty easy to remember. Good job. Good job on that.
Yeah.
All right, Nate, you're up.
He goes defense. I'm just licking my chops. Are you kidding me?
Offensive board is pretty wide open.
Yeah. I mean, we got Big Jim Chaney. You know, last year you're talking about the receiving numbers. I mean, Ty Chandler, he's going to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the running backs. I got my pick of the stable. What pick are we
you
on?
You do.
Number five.
With the fifth pick in the 2019 Fan Run Radio Offensive and Defensive MVP Draft, the Nate Hodges. That doesn't sound right either.
The Nate Hodges.
Hodges sounds better.
No, it definitely does not.
You said Williford's.
Yeah, because it's a D-S. The Hodges is just stupid. I
select Ty Chandler.
We end in S's.
Running back. Tennessee.
It's a good pick.
Give me Callaway and Chandler. Let's go.
I mean, how do you not feel good about that 1-2 punch? I mean, it's a pretty good stable. So now this leaves me in a very interesting position. Obviously, I get two picks right.
Right.
But offensively, the board is thin. Very thin right now. So I will take. You guys are going to hate this pick. But I'm telling you, it's a smart pick. I want Josh Palmer with my pick.
What?
That's right. I'm going sneaky Josh Palmer and Jawan Jennings. That is some statistical stacking right there. Those two guys, big play players.
I thought for sure you'd go Jeremy Banks.
I'm hoping they move Palmer to kick return.
I thought for sure.
I want to, but too much of an unknown.
I was going to have Palmer with my last pick.
No, you weren't. Trust me.
Oh, man. The sleeper. You got sniped.
And for my first defensive selection, I feel so good about this one. Lock this one down. Darrell Taylor. Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
Darrell Taylor, Palmer, Jenny. My team is stacked right now. My team is absolutely stacked. You guys are in big trouble.
I don't know. You have the 2 and 3 wide receiver.
That's debatable, but okay.
It's a strategy. I just don't know how to get stacked.
No, they're stacked. Trust me, I know stacked when I see it. This is a stacked team. I mean.
So you took Alante, Billy, and Garantano?
Yep.
And I'm back on the clock? No, you're on the clock.
No, you're back on the clock.
I just took two people. I'm just saying, Palmer averaged 21 yards of reception last year.
Well,
led the team besides Austin Pope with 55. But he fumbled.
I don't know how this happened, but you know, with the eighth pick, the 2019 Fan Run Radio Offensive and Defensive MVP Draft, Nate Hodges selects Bryce Thompson to repeat his defensive MVP.
I think it's a really good pick.
I mean, I don't know how he just fell through the cracks like that.
It is what it
happens in every draft.
It does.
Sometimes
it does. I think corners are tough.
Yeah.
Corners are tough because if they're good, they're not throwing it. My man Darrell Taylor's getting the sacks. I'm banking on both of them being so good that they don't show up statistically. Thusly, I took Darrell Taylor to clean up the mess when the quarterback's back in the pocket.
But when Bryce Thompson catches that.
You've got to think forward. Oh, what about when Darrell Taylor sack, fumble, scoop it, score?
When Bryce Thompson catches
that's worth twice as much as a punt return against Charlotte.
At our own 5-yard line, everybody's going, no, 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 against Mississippi State and kind of a defensive struggle and takes that bad boy 95 yards to the house.
That would feel pretty good.
Hmm.
That would feel nice.
Yeah. Well, this is the great thing about it because it's not like I'm going to be like, oh, man, Houston's boy Darrell Taylor just won us a football game. I'm going to be elated.
Oh, yeah.
We're competing against each other, but get to cheer all at the same time. This game is incredible. Great job, Houston.
I think it's fun.
Yeah.
We just got to remember our picks here.
Billy gets to wrap up his entire team here.
I'm
going to
tweet
picks.
Out our teams and see which one the fans think is the better draft here in a little bit.
Well, I think they're all going to have a case to be made. That's what's nice
about
it, too.
It's the beauty of the game. Billy?
With the 9th pick, what's the order you say it in?
Of the 2019 Tennessee football offensive and defensive MVP draft?
The Billy Williford's.
Nate added fan run. We can do that. That's a blanket thing. The Billy Williford select.
I was torn here. There's two defensive players that I think will make a big impact next season. But I'm going to go with Daniel Batuli.
Ooh. Mm. He was on my hot board.
Yeah.
He was on my
hot
board.
I actually thought about him with, yeah, really early.
He racks up the tackles.
He is a tackling machine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is a cookie monster when it comes to tackles.
Force a couple of fumbles. Hey. Defensive MVP. All right. Offense is. And I have to pick. I need an offensive player.
Yeah. Got to be 2-2.
Like I said, I was going to take Josh Palmer with this pick. So that leaves me.
Do it. Take the bull.
Outside of the
box. Take the bull and roll the dice.
And I'm going to go with Dominic Wood Anderson.
That's what I was thinking. You know, there's some hyping up of the big tight end.
What do you
mean? They've been doing some extra work on the side. He and Garantano getting together. Might be his go-to guy this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that I hadn't heard that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jim Chaney does have a unique ability to feature the tight end.
There you go.
It was so weird when he was at Georgia. Jacob Eason threw to the tight end all the time. And then Fromm comes in, and they never threw to Eason. I don't know if it's a what-you're-good-at thing, and Chaney's like, ah, yeah, Fromm's a little shorter, can't see over the middle. How tall is JG? Was he like 6'2"? Is he tall enough?
He doesn't have enough time. Drop it off to the tight end on a little slip.
Well, I feel like we saw a lot of that last year, but they had to leave the tight end to block, so look out.
Not this year. Offensive line looking up. All these,
I guess we'll see. You just said the offensive line scares you, and now he's all about the offensive line, getting his man Dom Wood Anderson wide open.
No one's gone offensive line yet. You know, it's a big question mark for the whole season.
Yeah, could stunner. Stunner that no one took an O lineman yet.
Could be the MVP. You know,
Net your
Wanya Morris.
You're on the board.
No,
you take him.
No. I'm torn. I have to make a defensive selection, first of all, so I can't go offensive line. I love Houston's pick of Darrell Taylor because you don't have to amass tons of stats as a pass rusher to be the MVP. You can just have some decent numbers there and some critical moment plays. But Bryce Thompson's kind of that pick for me, so I'm going to pair him up with a true freshman that I think – if he is as good as advertised, could change the entire defense, especially against the run.
This is a good pick, I think. Go. Say it. With the 10th?
11th.
11th pick of 2019 Tennessee football offensive and defensive MVP draft, the Nate Hodges select,
Henry Toa. Give me the linebacker.
It's a good pick.
Batuli is kind of the man in the middle, but he's going to have to take on more blockers. Toa is the run and chase, weak side, inside linebacker. I wouldn't be shocked if he comes off the bench in game one against Georgia State, and as soon as he starts making plays, they're like, well, that's it. Every snap the rest of the year, Toa just racking up the numbers, leads the team in tackles. This defense all of a sudden is really good against the run. We already know how good the secondary is going to be. Boom. There you go. That's my path for a unsung hero, true freshman, to be your defensive MVP this year in 2019.
I am left with the entire board on defense right now. I feel good about that, but it's a risky proposition. It's very risky.
What do you mean by the entire board?
Well, I have to pick a defensive guy, and I have everyone that's left. So
yes.
You guys won't get another pick. There's no protection here.
I just have to
decide. It's a risky place to be because there are some some guys coming in who have some real big-time potential, like Quaveris Crouch. He was here in the spring. He could be a monster.
Mm-hmm.
But he's young. Is he going to know enough?
It's true. And you already have a pass rusher. Like, if Crouch...
It doesn't matter.
If Crouch is
We're not playing two-on-two.
Well, I know. I'm just saying. Like...
Yeah, but that's
a decision. Do you want to... You already went...
Or do I want to just go...
Went double wide receiver.
Or I can go with a safe bet, and it's also a potential bet.
Mm-hmm.
See, part of me thinks, well, what if Emmett Gooden's really good on the inside, and all of a sudden Tennessee's stopping the run, and not only is he really good, but he's freeing up Daryl Taylor, or the opposite. They go after Daryl Taylor with the double teams, and here comes Emmett Gooden knifing up the middle, just eating quarterbacks whole.
There's a shiny Nigel Warrior sitting right there for you.
That's the other one. A guy who I've been very hard on since he got here.
You know he would pick up a lot of fan votes in a future Twitter poll, too.
His last name is Warrior.
Just
his dad is Dale Carter.
I mean, he's not any good, but
he was second on the team in tackles last year with 64. Those are stats.
That's true.
One pass defended as a free safety.
Do you remember?
Kyle Phillips had four.
Do you remember that West Virginia game when I lost my mind late when he wouldn't hit that tight end?
Yeah. That was maybe the maddest I've ever seen you. That was rewatching the game, though, wasn't it?
No, that was you and I in Charlotte. I screamed at him in real time from our seats, like 10 rows up.
Yeah. I'm going to do it.
What?
With the 12th overall pick in the 2019 Tennessee Football Offensive and Defensive MVP Draft, the Houston Chris select... Nigel Warrior.
Safety, sheep.
Tennessee.
Oh, man.
No. He bought in late.
Okay.
He's got the speed. He's got great coaching. Derek Ansley. How do you not play for that guy? We are going to see new age Nigel Warrior.
Mm.
As long as my boy, what was my guy in the spring game? Not Burrell, the freshman safety from Georgia.
I mean, we left a lot on the board there, yeah.
It's hard to take a newcomer. And it's like,
I did.
Warrior's like a 4-year starter at safety. Like, he's going to start. And if he has a good year, it could be. What if he has like 7 interceptions? What if he goes all Deion Grant on people?
Was it Jalen McCullough that had the pick?
Jalen McCullough,
game?
That's my guy. Love. Should have
gone
love with him. Jalen. I don't know how much he's going to play.
Yeah.
Warrior. 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 You're intimidated just by hearing me say it. Mm. Warrior.
We'll come Warrior. Back. We'll chew on the ones that got the shaft. The next one, the others receiving votes that maybe we missed out on. Break down our picks, and you know, you can tweet us at Fox Sports Knox your thoughts.
Can't believe
well.
I didn't take Jeremy Banks.
Gah. That hurts. Final segment of the day of the week.
I love my team.
That's what everybody says after a draft.
I love my team.
We were supposed to get intern Will's thoughts during the break on ranking the teams and everything. Let me get him a mic. Go stand up there by Billy so he can talk in the mic. All right, so Houston, do you want to give a rundown of the team since you got them right there? Just to kind of for the people just listening and having to try and keep track of this in their head.
I would love to. Let me just finish this typing.
Okay. So Houston had the first pick.
I'm done with the typing. Thank
then
you.
Then he...
Okay. We'll start with Billy's team. Offense, Jarrett Garantano, Dominic Wood Anderson.
It's a strong pair. They go together.
Like peanut butter and jelly.
If they both have a good year, then that'd be a really strong argument for him just kind of winning that side of the ball.
Defense, Billy went Alante Taylor.
Solid.
And Daniel Batuli. Pretty good chances there.
Pretty proven guys, too. Like, you don't think they're – you know what you're going to get, I think, at least, at a minimum. And they might take a big step forward.
Nate selected Marquez Callaway and Ty Chandler on offense. Also special teams guys. He also got special teams ace, potentially, Bryce Thompson. So, here's the deal. With those selections, Nate is guaranteed to have the kick returner and the punt returner because it's either going to be Chandler and Callaway on kickoffs or Chandler and Thompson on kickoffs. And punt return, it's going to be Callaway or it's going to be Thompson. So, kudos to you. Probably going to get a nice boost in the special teams category. His other defensive pick was Henry T. O apostrophe O T O apostrophe O. To O to O. I've heard it said different ways. I think that's a risky pick, but potentially, I think if this was a futures draft, you were feeling pretty good about Henry T., Bryce Thompson, and probably Ty Chandler. I went with leadership. I went with a senior-driven squad.
Yep.
Senior receiver, Jawan Jennings. Junior, Josh Palmer. Big play Palmer, we call him. Defense, I went with the fourth-rated senior outside linebacker in the country, Darrell Taylor. And senior, Nigel Warrior. His dad was Dale Carter. I don't know if you knew that. His dad was Dale Carter. Great NFL safety and corner. Also returned kicks while he was at Tennessee. Like Nigel, and his last name's Warrior, which is the most intimidating thing I've ever seen. So obviously this guy's due for a big year. He was a four-star prospect. He runs like deer. Great hands. And Pruitt's toughened him up.
This happens a lot of times.
Senior. Senior. Junior. Senior.
With drafts. You had the first overall pick. You would think that would make the most impact. But actually, by being able to start the second round of picks, to me, your defense is actually stronger than your offense. That's just my opinion. Intern Will, what say you about these teams?
I got Houston at an A-.
Ooh, A-.
Nate at an A-, and Billy at a B+.
Billy took quarterback. Pretty high in the draft for a quarterback.
I mean, he got the quarterback. That's I do agree with Houston that, I mean, I said stats aren't everything, but the quarterback does have the best chance of being the MVP.
He does. He does. He also probably has the most chance of getting cut in half and replaced by a freshman.
And Wood Anderson hasn't done anything in his 3 years here, so.
No, he's only been here one, in fairness.
Yeah.
JUCO guy.
My fault.
No, it's fine.
Oh, big mistake by intern Will right out of the gate.
I mean, I didn't know I didn't see his JUCO stats.
He didn't have a big year last year.
No.
He had the touchdown against.
Kind of heard the same hype.
What do you have the touchdown, right? He had a touchdown against West Virginia. He had one later, right? Didn't he, South Carolina?
That key
South
drop,
Carolina?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, one against Kentucky.
Florida.
He did have a big one against Kentucky because he did the jump shot.
There weren't many options left for Billy on offense. Like, where does he go? Like, he can't go with the fourth receiver.
Who would have been a better pick for Billy there? Wood Anderson or Jeremy Banks? Jeremy Banks scored more touchdowns last year than Dominic Wood Anderson.
Good point. Good point by you, Houston.
He might be the bulldozer.
The outside the box selection would have been just go JT Stroud and make sure you have whoever's going to finish with the best quarterback stats.
Nigel Warrior. Big year coming up 2019.
I can't believe you didn't take Kavarius Crouch. He might be the ace pass rusher. Darrell Taylor on one side, Crouch on the other.
No, they're not going to do that.
Give us your feedback at Fox Sports Knox. Hope you have a great weekend out there for intern Will. Billy Williford.
Thanks for the A-, Will.
Houston Kress. I'm Nate Hodges. You've been listening to 3 and Out. The Blitz is next. Keep it right here for more Fan Run Radio.
Bon weekend.